Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, and it's been a while since we've had WGR's Paul Hamilton on with us to talk some Buffalo Sabres. Looking forward to this conversation. Paul, how are you? How you been?
I'm well. How you doing?
Paul, welcome back. Thanks for your time today. I always appreciate it. Sabres losing last night in Colorado 3-2. What are your impressions of what the Sabres did at the trade deadline, Paul?
Well, I didn't mind it. I mean, if they want to try to make a run here, that's fine. I mean, it's been so long since they've made the playoffs. And I mean, if they would have started selling off some of the players they had, what are they going to get for them? Like fourth and fifth round picks? I mean, at that point, it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
So, I thought getting Simmons, it just brings an element they don't have. I think you will see less and less of elbows to the face of Johansson and people going after Eichel and that type of thing. I think that will be calmed down a little bit because Lazar is a little bit of a detriment to that, but Simmons is definitely more of a detriment to that. And he's 31 years old. I mean, can't skate anywhere near as well as he used to be able to do. He probably can't score. I don't think it was a great idea to put him on the ice with Johansson and Skinner like happened yesterday. But I think, you know, in your bottom six, that's fine. They got him for a price where, again, what was it, a fifth-round pick? Who cares? And you didn't have to pay a big part of the salary. It's $2.5 million, which I think is reasonable. I think the Devils signing him for $5 million is one of the reasons why their GM is no longer employed. And, I was actually surprised, he got a contract like that because, you know, he's been declining for a couple of years from when he used to be able to score goals with Philadelphia. But for the leadership that he would provide, for the element that he brings to the ice, I think that was fine. Cahoon, you look at, he came over for Rodriguez and Sherry. He has more goals than either one of them. And I think there's more upside. I quite honestly am tired of watching Sherry and play on the outside and never be around the net and be afraid to be around the net. And sometimes good on the forecheck. Other times you didn't even know he was in the lineup. Same with Rodriguez. He would go a month where you didn't even know he was around. And then, you know, recently he started playing a little bit better. But they got too many of those players that every now and then they play a little bit better. And to me, the Penguins got worse by getting those two guys, and we'll see what Cahoon can do.
Connor Sherry, is that an indictment on Jason Bottrell? Because he should have known what type of player he was trading for, right?
Absolutely it is. I've been questioning that for the whole time. It's like, you're the one that brought this guy into the league. You were there when he was coming up. Yeah, he had an overtime goal in a playoff game for the Penguins, but he's never been a big scorer. And, you know, what have they been clamoring for? Guys that'll be around the net. I mean, Phil Housley would beg those guys to be around the net. They wouldn't do it. Same thing with Kruger. And, you know, it did boggle my mind that he would bring him here knowing the type of player he is. It's like, what do you think, that all of a sudden Ralph Kruger is going to convince him to go stand in front of the net and take punishment? I mean, that's not what he does. He's afraid to be around the net. He would rather play around the perimeter.
Paul, you know, it's been such a while since we've had you on, and there's been so much noise around this team as they kind of faltered here in the month of January out of the All-Star break. The homestand was a disappointment. They've played better as of late, but at the nadir of their downfall at the end of that homestand, you know, I think there was a lot of basically Dwayne, the caller that set everything off was Dwayne, and everybody started to cry for Jason Bottrell, and Jason Bottrell needs to lose his job. And, you know, I believe that if they have a strong finish to the season and they finish with a good March, that he's probably okay to come back. Correct me if you think I'm wrong, but is there a scenario that you could see where the Pegulas could end up with looking at this season as another failure of a season, another season where you're not in the postseason, and clean house and move on again with another GM this offseason?
Well, you never say never. I don't see it right now. And I've wondered the whole season if he's doing the Brendan Bean thing of 2018, where Bean had to clean up the salary cap and it was almost like a giveaway year for the Bills. And I'm wondering, with some of the one-year contracts that were signed, if that was the idea that Bottrell sold to the Pegulas this year. It's like, okay, you know, next year we're not being paying Scandella, we're not going to be paying Bogosian, we're not going to be paying Sobotka. The list goes on. And, you know, we'll have a lot of money to move on and do other things. And I just wonder if that might have been part of the thought process, because it's funny. What that caller was more an indictment on the Pegulas than it was Bottrell.
Yes, yes.
I mean, they were going after misspellings on jerseys during night. He was more an indictment on, do you people pay any attention at all? Do you care? Type of a thing, more than anything else. You know, you've got seats in the arena that are just scummy, and they've been there since the arena opened. I mean, they need all new seats in there. It's like for 3 years they've been doing a study. You didn't need a study to tell you you need new seats in the arena. That could have already been done. And, you know, people don't have cup holders. The seats are broken. The armrests are broken. Just the place is getting run down. And all I hear about is, well, we have a study going on. Well, when's the study going to end, and when are we going to see some action?
Did anything change after that whole kind of blow up, so to speak? Did things improve in terms of fan relations, Paul? Did the Pegulas respond to that at all?
No, not at all. I haven't heard a thing from them about it.
Do you think they should? I mean, I think there's two schools of thought there, right? I mean, some people want their ownership to be front and center and active and you know, making comments regularly. And then I think there are a lot of owners that just kind of stand back and let their guys do their thing. And you know, I guess the bigger question here is, you know, and I know Bottrell has addressed this, should there be a president kind of person, a front and center, that a hockey person that can kind of be that voice of the organization and free Bottrell from having to deal with the media the way he has?
No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. To me, your GM is your guy. He's got two veterans around him. Randy Sexton is a former GM, and to bounce ideas off. And if you're not happy with your GM, then go get a new one. But no, I don't believe. I don't need too many cooks in the kitchen. I mean, it's how many people do you want in charge here? And then, president of what? I mean, you've got a guy running the hockey department now. What do you need another guy to come in and run the hockey department for? If you're going to do that, then fire Bottrell and bring him in to be your general manager and let him run the hockey department. But I'm not a big believer in that at all.
Paul Hamilton joining us here. Paul, you mentioned how the Sabres are going to have all this room coming up this summer, but I want to say in the past you've compared or used the phrase fool's gold when it comes to free agency in the NHL. So where it sounds good, if you can kind of address this, it's not like a bunch of cap space is going to instantly fix all the problems for the Buffalo Sabres into next year, right?
No, but it might allow you to make a trade that maybe you couldn't make when you were tied up against the cap. And you're right, free agency isn't the way to go for the most part. But I think, you know, trades are the way to go. But then you go to, well, what do they got to trade? I mean, the people that are tradable that might be able to get you a top six forward are guys you don't want to trade. You know, Eichel, Dahlin. I quite honestly wouldn't want to trade Joakim Haru right now. The guys that Cousins, the guys that people would want are really the guys that you really where you going if you're trading those guys. I mean, Ristolainen is not getting it done. It's just not. He is not bringing you a guy to play center behind Eichel, unless it's Ristolainen in your number one pick. Then maybe you're talking, but I think the Botterill overvalues him, and I think other teams do have scouts. They see, you know, the numbers. They see the problems he has at times. He can be very good at times, and he can be very bad at times. And Elliot Friedman was on the air with the Instigators talking about how Botterill had a trade done with the Flames. I don't believe it was this year. Probably, I think it might have been last year. And the Flames analytics department grabbed the hockey department and said, you guys want to see this? We got some things to show you here. And they went through it with him, and the Flames called the trade-off because of how bad Ristolainen is when you start crunching the numbers and that type of thing.
Well, when you hear and look, you're right with Botterill and his valuation of Ristolainen, and at the trade deadline, a trade deadline where I think everybody is thinking, all right, who could go? You know, could this be the time that Ristolainen goes? It sure sounded after the trade deadline passed and Botterill spoke to the media that Rasmus Ristolainen is actually part of the core of this team and somebody that they don't really want to get rid of.
No, I don't know. I think it sounds to me like maybe the groundwork was being laid down. That's usually what happens at the trade deadline when you're looking at those types of a deal. I won't say they never happen, but that's not a trade deadline type of a deal. And this happens all the time. Some of the trades that you see go down in the summertime, some of the groundwork was laid during the season. And that trade deadline day, as GMs were talking, where it's like, a team that's close to the playoffs or on a run and maybe wants Ristolainen, they don't want to give up what the Sabres want right now because they want that player for their playoff run. Where by the time you get to the summertime, you know, maybe giving up that player that the Sabres want isn't such a bad thing, you know, at that point. So I was not expecting Ristolainen at all to move. I don't know why he would have. It's not a trade deadline type of a thing that usually happens at the trade deadline.
Paul Hamilton joining us from Buffalo, sister station, WGR. You can find on the radio.com app. Paul, I don't think anybody here in Rochester is offended that Zach Bogosian decided not to report, but I'll ask the question to you this way, because this happened around the holidays where you had the report of Bogosian wanting a trade, and then that was followed up a little while thereafter by Evan Rodriguez requesting a trade. How, in retrospect, should there have been, hey, anybody that doesn't want to be here, get out? You know, why did it take so long to make this move with Bogosian, Paul? If somebody didn't want to be here, do you think that move should have happened, say, right then and there? And if you speak now or forever, hold your peace if you don't want to be a Buffalo Sabre.
Absolutely. And I had said it then. I mean, Kruger talks a lot about buy-in. Well, anybody asking to be traded is not bought in. They are not buying into what is going on. As far as I'm concerned, the minute that request was made, your career as a Buffalo Sabre is now over. Yeah, I'll try to move you. If you want to come to practice, it's fine. Or I might have even told them to stay home and whatever, but you aren't playing games. You're done. Because to me, you are not bought in anymore. So that's the way I would have handled it. I might have tried to trade him, but neither one of them would have played another game in my mind.
Paul, three games left on the road trip for Buffalo. It doesn't get easier. Vegas, the opponent. What do we know about the lineup going into the game against the Knights? Are we going to see, and we saw Simmons last night. And by the way, I did find it refreshing to see a player for the Sabres in Simmons finishing checks. I don't know the last time we were trying to think. Was it Foligno? When was the last time we had somebody on the team that was out there and just physical and dominant and finishing checks? And I'm curious when we might actually see the debut of Dominic Cahoon with the Sabres. Will it be against Vegas?
Oh, Lazar does it, although he didn't start off in Buffalo. Just the line when he feels like it will do it. Yeah. But yeah, they don't have too many guys that actually do that. Cahoon had a lower body injury that it was close to being able to play in the game, and he had said that if he wasn't ready for that game last night, that he would be ready for the Vegas game, so he at least would be available for the game if the Sabres so choose to use him. The problem with this road trip, I mean, the Sabres played very well last night.
Yeah,
I mean, that was a good game. I enjoyed that game a lot. A lot of back and forth. There were times the Sabres had control of the play. There were times the Avalanche had control of the play. Goaltenders making great saves. Great opportunities for the Sabres at the end. They weren't able to capitalize, but they created some really good opportunities to try to do that. And it was a really good game, but that's the thing. I mean, that's not a loss where I would say, boy, that's a horrible loss. But the problem is they need points. And in the situation they're in, they're playing four very difficult teams here. Probably needed 6 points on this trip, in my mind, to even stay in the race. And now you're going into Vegas to go play a team that's won 7 straight games. And has a goaltender that's sitting on a shutout and another goaltender used to play for the Buffalo Sabres who's itching to get in there for his first game with the Golden Knights. And they're home on a 7-game winning streak. So, I mean, it's not going to get any easier for this Sabre hockey team.
Paul, if I were going to do the schedule myself, I wouldn't want the Vegas trip coming right in the middle of a road trip. I would want it at the very beginning. I know these are professionals and they're grown men, but then again, the temptation, what do we know? I mean, does Ralph Kruger have guidelines for these guys going into Vegas? Do they stay off the strip? I mean, what kind of latitude does Kruger give these guys after they get off the ice? They've got a night off here in Vegas to enjoy themselves if they want to.
Well, they have practice this afternoon. It'll be evening in our time, but this afternoon Vegas time. And they're grown men. That's not the way things are. The coaches don't in the National Hockey League make players stay in the hotel or whatever. It's their job to be ready to play the Golden Knights. And, you know, he might give some parameters of what he'd like to see, but, you know, this isn't college. This isn't high school. These are grown men. And the thing is, if they go out and get hammered and they show up the next day and for a game and are in that shows Ralph Kruger right there what kind of individual he's got. And they, you know, maybe that's the type of player that in the off season would no longer be around anymore because Kruger wouldn't look at that as a buy-in. So that's up to players and the leadership group to get together and tell them, you know, this isn't party time. This is the time to get ready because you want to make the playoffs. And now you have back-to-back games coming up in Vegas and in Arizona. And if you want to make the playoffs, you can't go 0-3 in this. So, you know, it's up to the players to figure out how much they want it.
Paul, last one for me. You and I and Gene, we've had conversations in the past, not so much this year, but in the past about Jack and Jack's leadership abilities and how he's kind of grown into his role. Hard to pick apart any of his game this year and be like, well, he's just not doing. I mean, Jack has been better than advertised, I think, this season. I'm curious as to what you're seeing out of the captain's play. And is there even more room for growth when you talk about Jack Eichel here in the future?
Yeah, right now he's gutting it out. He's got a core injury that he's trying to play through. And you can see it at times, him wincing on the ice. And he hasn't taken faceoffs in at least 3 games because of it. But he's trying to gut it out and trying to be out there for his team. Boy, he had a couple of chances where he set up Olofsson in last night's game where, you know, Olofsson just didn't convert where he normally would have converted. So it's a situation where, yes, I think he has grown up, I mean, he said in the locker room that was a very good game, and I don't think that was any embarrassment to lose to the Avalanche. But he's saying, so what? He goes, I'm not into moral victories. He goes, we needed points, and we didn't get any. He goes, I don't care who's good, who's not, or whatever. He goes, we played well enough to get points, and we didn't get them. He goes, that's not good enough. And that was nice to hear. You know, that's not a loss that I would get mad about. That, you know, when you take a 2-0 lead in Ottawa and give up 7 goals, that's a loss to get mad about. That's a loss that's inexcusable. I wouldn't consider last night a loss that's inexcusable, but it comes in March when you're trying to pass 3 teams and get yourself back into a playoff race. And, you know, Jack Eichel wasn't impressed.
Paul, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Let's do this again soon. Glad you're back, buddy.
Thanks, man. Take care.
You got it. Paul Hamilton, WGR, radio.com sports sister station in Buffalo, joining us here to talk some Buffalo Sabres in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. All right, let's get to Aldrich to that, Gino.
Yeah.
Sports thoughts. Takes, agree, disagree.
It's funny. You and I saw the same thing. One of your takes, Danger, why Yankee fans should pay attention.
Oh, Yankee fans.
Oh, no.
By the way, this is bad for anybody, not just for Yankee fans, anybody that's cut the cord. I will say that I just can't imagine a world where I'm not shelling out money to be able to enjoy what I enjoy.
Yeah, if you like your Yankee baseball on television, there was a big story, and this is a little different. Danger, we'll get to that. I've got a couple takes today. Something very distasteful out in Los Angeles that happened today. I have a take on that, and let's assume this gets passed. Would that be nice if we had the NFLPA and the NFL say, yes, we agree to this? Well, roster sizes are going to go up from 53 to 55. I think that it's going to have an impact on one position in particular, and this is what I would advise Brandon Bean to keep in the back of his mind.
Everybody believes that, you know, has started to, the drumbeat getting louder, Tom Brady won't be in New England, and everybody believes, or the odds-on favorite to land Tom Brady has been from day one, because it makes sense, right? The Chargers, he's got to go to the Chargers. I'm going to tell you why that move does not ensure that the Chargers will all of a sudden become relevant in Los Angeles. That there's actually another move that that organization can make that gives them a better chance at relevancy in their own home market.
I liked it.
All right. I'll drink to that is on the way next. And you're always welcome to join us in the sports bar. Pull up a stool at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. More next on AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis, and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus, on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.